I've been enjoying Sunday school, and it seems to be leading right into the sermon. So I need again to go back and read a little about what Gary read again this morning in Isaiah chapter 48, verse 4. God says, "Because I know that you are obstinate and your neck is as iron sinew and your forehead brass, I declared to them, to you from old, before they came to pass, and I announced them to you. Lest you say, my idol did them, my carved image and my metal image commanded them." God is talking about his word that he announced prior, and that he is unveiling before them as time marches on. Then he says this: "They are created now, not long ago," the things that God said. "Before today you have heard of you have never heard of them, lest you should say, behold, I knew them." The Lord is talking about the things that he prophesied. Gary is talking about the things that were to come this morning. I thought it interesting that the ratio of verses to the first coming of God, of Jesus Christ, is anywhere between 1 to 10 and 1 to 8. 1 to 8 and 1 to 10. In other words, for every one verse of the first coming, there's at least 8 verses of the second. There are hundreds and hundreds of verses and prophecies still to come. Now, we can focus on prophecy to come, but we have to understand it's the whole Word of God. We have to start with the foundation, which we sang about this morning, which is Jesus Christ our Savior. We start with him as the cornerstone, and then he's the capstone as well. And he's building this holy house built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. In other words, the Word of God already proclaimed. And as Gary mentioned this morning, it's being unveiled as we go. There's no new prophecy coming. But people are caught up in a very difficult situation today. So that we continue to see the numbers for the church decline. And here's the newest number that came out yesterday. Only 6% of Americans hold to a dominantly biblical worldview. Only 6%. That is an astounding number. I hope it is somewhat higher. That's very concerning, because now you're dipping into the evangelical church numbers. See, before we've talked about the mainline denominations. We had a church close here recently. Some of these need to close because they're cults and they're teaching error. But yet we've got so many around that are teaching error that remain open and tickle ears and hearts. And in the middle of the Wuhan Chinese virus, for instance, is this idea that we need to find security in truth. Because fake news is everywhere, so where is the truth? So some preachers feel like they need to dip into this body that's looking for truth, for help. And so some of us preachers, many of us I would say, are going to dip into that sea of people out there, and we're going to tickle their ears. Because they need help, and I'm the helper. We call the church a hospital, and so who's the doctor? And the preachers are taking it upon them as to being the prophet and the healer. And that's only Jesus Christ. This is the apostolic church in Baton Rouge. There are no new apostles. I don't know if you're aware of the new apostolic movement, the Reformation movement. It is a horrible movement that is moving rapidly into the church. As these prophets, they're coming out and saying, we are prophets, I know the way, I know the truth, and I know the future because I'm a prophet. It's interesting, he says, I'm not a politician. He's pro-Trump. Which again, the QAnon conspiracy thing is still out there. But he goes, I'm not a politician, I'm a prophet. So the interviewer says, well, you say that COVID hasn't hit your church. He says, that's correct, I haven't seen one case. And she said, well, one of your family members just told me that she had COVID. His father-in-law or mother-in-law or mother or something. Very close right there. So not only is he a prophet, he's a liar. Now, you see what we're pulled into? And why I've chosen to do this series is because we're being pulled into a fight. The church is being pulled into a fight. And John MacArthur said the other day, the church loses one time. The apostasy. We don't want to hear that. That's scary stuff. Boy, Raymond, I'm going to be glad in a couple weeks when you're done with this series. Because it isn't very fun. You should be on this side of the pulpit. It's frightening. It's sad. But it's the truth. As people like this say, oh, I can corner more people. I can get more people. Jude started with saying this, that we are kept. We are loved. We don't have to worry about that. We need to be concerned. I'm more concerned about family members, and I hope I'm not so concerned about myself that I start lying. We need to be concerned because as, again, Gary said this morning and pointed out by God's word, he is going to judge the world. He's going to refine his church. He's going to take it through the fire and he's going to refine her. That does not mean we go through the tribulation, but he's going to refine it and then he's going to reveal the apostasy that is already in full swing. We are warned, we are kept, we are loved, but then we are warned. Struggle, contend for the faith. Just as those men in Sodom and Gomorrah wanted to take their lust out on the angels, just as those men in Sodom and Gomorrah, the angels in Genesis 6 wanted to take their anger out on God's seed, if you will. And just as Smyrna was persecuted, so the church will be persecuted. The Lord warned the church of Ephesus that you lost your first love. He warned the church of Pergamum that they hold to the teachings of Balaam, which we will get to. He warned them that there's a stumbling block of Balaam and Jezebel, which is a picture of the false church. That they are going to cause you to eat food sacrificed to idols and practice sexual immorality. That's what they want to do. You say, well, we don't see that. That doesn't happen. Well, number one, we may not be watching the news enough because it has happened. Listen to or just look up Hillsong Church. It is happening. And it starts with a progression. It's really interesting that Jude writes in a way by the Holy Spirit in an order that we should take notice of. Watch this order. Jude 10 through 11. But these people blaspheme all they do not understand, And they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake for the gain of Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. There's a lot of things in here. There's a lot going on. One, they are using the base laws, which we have talked about several weeks ago. They are using the natural laws of magnetism. I'm going to draw people to me. Of a vacuum. Oh, there's a need there. I'm going to jump into it. They're going to stick themselves where they don't belong. And they're going to gather people to them and lead them astray. And it's interesting that it's kind of like the Antichrist starts out. They start out as a little horn, maybe a nobody. Remember, Jude says a couple of times, they come in unnoticed. They secretly sneak in. It reminds me of some Hollywood people who, once they gain power, all of a sudden they come out of the closet. You know, they don't do that right off the bat. We had a president recently who did the same thing. He was pro-marriage, man and woman. You remember him. And then right in the middle of his tenure, what happened? 180. And the Supreme Court followed him. Because they come out of the closet. They come in secretly. And as that happens in the world, it happens in the church. They get tickling ears. And all of a sudden, a little bit of power. And, oh, now I can say what I really think. And, oh, I can get these people drawn to me. And this kind of money. And these kind of relationships. It's happening. And it does happen. And it happens in a really interesting order. First of all, there's a woe. That's a curse to them. Curse to them. For they walked. So now, here's the progress. They begin to walk in the way of Cain. So they start walking down a certain life pathway and certain theology and stuff. They may not be teaching it, but they're walking that way. Having a form of godliness, maybe, but denying the power thereof. They're walking that way. And then at some point, they just abandon themselves to that way. You see? They're walking, and then they give themselves over to it. They abandon themselves to it for sake of some kind of gain. Could be money for Balaam, could be other things, but they forsake themselves for some kind of gain. And then what happens? They perish. Now there's a good lesson here for you and I, that we need to be careful how we walk. Walk according to the Spirit, that you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. We get to know the Word. We get to know Jesus Christ. We find out what pleases Him. Ephesians chapter 5. And we say, we love you, Lord. Teach me how to love you. And so we're reminded of those things over and over and over. And so the warning here from Jude is, watch for people who are walking in that way. Watch for people who have abandoned themselves to that way. And watch for people who are going to perish in their way. We got to make sure that we're not one of them. But remember, Jude is talking to you and me about separating ourselves from them and abandoning ourselves to the Scriptures. Because this is the preparation for the revelation that is to come very soon as he takes his church. Cain. Let's talk about Cain. A progress in apostasy. Cain walked in a certain way. You remember his way. In Genesis chapter 4, Cain and Abel. Cain, the older brother, is a tender or a worker of the ground. That's not a bad thing. Adam was supposed to work the ground. Work is a good concept. In the millennium, we're going to be working. In the New Jerusalem, we're going to be working because it's God's concept. It's a good thing. It wasn't wrong. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. Well, we would say, well, that's where he works. Why not bring some of his fruit? Right? That makes sense. That makes sense to me, except that's not what God said. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock, and their fat portions. You think Abel came up with that on his own? We remembered that we're going through the book of Genesis here and at 4 o'clock. And we went through chapters 1 and 2 and even parts of 3. And we find numerous laws, numerous portions of God's laws found in Genesis 1 through 3. Did you know that the Sabbath is there? That the sacrifice is there? God sacrifices an animal. That the feasts are there, Genesis 1:14. That the marriage covenant is there. You see how many things are there in the first three chapters? And that's just a few of them. There's a bunch of them. So, after Abel brought the firstborn of his flock and the fat portions, the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So you remember what happened. Cain got angry. Now it's interesting. The Lord could have took it out on Cain and said, what are you angry for? You're gone. Get out of my garden. He didn't, did he? What did he do by his grace? He warned him. He said, listen, sin is after you. It's like a crouching tiger. It's over there in the, you might not notice him, but I'm telling you, because I love you, he's in the bushes looking for you. You know, Satan prowling around like a roaring lion. Sin is personified here. Look out for it. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. God, it says in the Bible, Elohim Yahweh. By this point, they know him as Elohim Yahweh. Thank you, Lord, for that. Did he do that? No, he got mad. He went and spoke to his brother. Come out in the field. Now, that's all it says in the Bible, but I often wondered, I kind of sat there this morning saying, I wonder what their conversation was. Yeah, you know what God told me? Yeah, because you had to bring the fat portions. Yeah, you know. You know how little brothers do. They pick on each other. These are big brothers. These are men. Lured him out in the field and then killed him because he was angry. He was angry with Abel? He was angry with God. I'm not going to worship your way. See how it is? You told me to bring the fat portions and the first flock. That means I have to give some fruit of my ground to go buy a sheep or something. And then to do it your way? I'm not going to do it your way. You know who Cain is? He's the first Pharisee. He's the first Pharisee. He didn't want to worship God's way. His heart fell. He didn't want to do it God's way. So God said, please, I'm warning you, do it my way. No, I'm going to kill my brother. He walked in a certain way. There was another man like that. You remember him? Remember King Saul? King Saul was offered the kingdom. Here's the kingdom. You're going to prophesy, and he did prophesy. You're going to stomp out the Philistines, and he started to do that. And then Samuel said, listen, go up to this certain place and wait for me, and I will come and sacrifice. You remember that? And Saul waited, and God tested, like he tested Cain and like he tests you and me. I don't want to do it God's way. And he waited. Lord, you're not coming. Why aren't you here? Like I heard somebody say recently. Pete, this church has lied to me and I'm leaving it. I'm leaving it. The rapture should have already happened. I'm leaving. So what happened? Saul sacrificed some animals. And Samuel showed up right then. And he says, you have rejected the word of the Lord. He has rejected you as king. I didn't ask Kathy to have us sing Trust and Obey this morning, but that's pretty appropriate. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for that. Thank you. Know the word. Know the word. Lord, I don't like that portion of the word. That hurts me. That gay marriage is my daughter, my brother, they're in my church. That person who's doing this, taking advantage of me, I love them, and I just have to overlook that. No, you don't have to overlook that. You have to trust and obey. You have to love the sinner, you have to hate the sin. God warned them both. You remember what that happened to Saul after that. He wanted to kill his brother David. You see the walk of Cain? It leads somewhere as we harden our hearts. Some people look like they're walking in a right, proper way, but at some point they're going to go south. You're going to see their actions. You need to be careful to, and here's the point here. You need to be careful to know their words first. You need to know what they're teaching. Just this week, we were contemplating using somebody as a teacher in this church. And somebody sent me a clip of what this person believed. Wrote it in a book. Right at the end. Basically, he said, Jesus is not the only way. And all my respect for that man just went south. Had to go south. I told my wife, I told some people here, you got to make tough calls. This is a hard one. But you got to make it. Max Lucado, when he did that stuff out in the East Coast, you got to make the tough call. You just have to understand it. Because they're choosing the way. Let me tell you folks, that we're being brought to a location in history where these things are going to be pushed to us. We're going to be tested like Saul and Cain and others. What will you do with this Jesus Christ? The lesson for us, 1 John 3:12, do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one. I heard another really good teacher, and I still love him, and we're going to have to wait and see, but he said Cain was saved. He thinks Cain was saved. And I wish I could argue with him, but he's dead. And he's got great teaching, but he just believed that Cain was kept alive and his line went on, but he failed to look into the New Testament where it says Cain belonged to the evil one. He murdered his brother. Why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Hebrews 11:4, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain. Abel had faith, and by inference, Cain did not. Cain did not receive the approval of God because his heart was not right with God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So the first step is, that's you and me. Lord, that teaching is a hard one, but I'm going to accept it. I'm going to try to understand it and accept it. Help me do that, because I'm not going to the left or the right, like he told Joshua. But remember, Jude, he wants you to be on that path. But he wants you now to fight for it. Because now he's saying, contend for the faith. Because wolves have already crept in. And so now your job is to know the truth, yes, but now step up to the fight. In Luke 11:37, Jesus goes to a dinner. He and the Pharisees are there. And you remember what happened in this one occasion in Luke 11. The Pharisees looking at him like, hey, you didn't wash your hands. Well, at that point, all of our kids would be out, right? No, see, it was a tradition, a religious tradition to wash their hands. Some of our churches do that. You come up before you walk in the door and you wash your hands in some kind of holy water or blessed water or whatever it is. It's a religious tradition. It's not biblical. The Lord said to him, now you Pharisees cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. They have a form of godliness. They say kind of interesting things, and they look okay. They're doing religious things, but inside is bad. He says, and only Jesus can use this word, by the way, you fools. Because God calls enemies fools. Woe to you, there's another curse. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb, and depending on whether you're in the south or the north, is it herb or herb, right?